is the Different Football Show. VAR You Serious on FUBAR Radio with Cecil G. Thomas.
Hello. Happy Monday. Happy Bank Holiday Monday. You're listening to VAR You Serious, brought to you by FUBAR Radio. Myself, Cecil G. and Kim Kattari. Of course, I'm not in my hosting chair, as you may be able to see if you're watching online. But I'm in my hosting chair, just not in the studio. I'm in my house, and Kim is also where he is sat right now, I'm assuming in his property as well. Of course, it's Bank Holiday Monday. Of course, I was outside yesterday at Carnival. So I just thought, you know, that journey is a big old journey. And if I'm honest, it made sense for us to do it from here anyway, because we're going to have to talk about all the same things over the weekend. And I also have, on top of it being Bank Holiday Monday, on top of it me being at Notting Hill Carnival yesterday, it's also Arsenal also playing Birmingham. So I'm not able to get to the studio. We're going to be on the road very soon. But Kim, my friend, we are back. I've kind of had a half look. Big up the social team. Big up Hugh. Big up everyone at VAICS, because I've seen they put the predictions on. We're not going to do predictions straight away. We're going to obviously leave it to the end. We did put the predictions on social media, and I feel like I was doing okay. I think there's some I got wrong, but we'll get to that at the end of the show and see who's winning. If I've gone back to back, which hopefully I should have. I don't want to see no forfeit or anything coming in, though, if you win, just so you know. I want to make sure that's very, very clear and live on the radio. Is that again?
I will keep it above board, don't worry.
Good. All right, let's get into things. Firstly, how was your weekend been? Just talk to me, because obviously I want to do Carnival talk in a second, but your weekend.
Yep, good. Started at Palace on Friday night, which was absolutely class. We were unreal. It was the most stressful journey of my life, though, right? Because
you're in London. Friday, what are you on about? Oh, wait, hold on. Sorry.
So do you usually come to the conclusion of a story right at the beginning of it, or do you usually wait to hear what?
No, I like to jump in when you talk.
Yeah, I like to just make my
thoughts in early. Go on. All right, so carry on.
Shall I start?
Oh, can you start? Tell us your story, because I was in London. All right, go on, carry on.
Okay, so on Friday day, I'm obviously sent to Ipswich to go and interview Gary O'Neill. I'm there. I'm doing the press conference with Gary O'Neill. Then straight after the press conference at 2 o'clock, me and Gary O'Neill are supposed to have a sit-down interview, which is going to be played out on Sky Sports ahead of their game against Manchester United on Sunday, which was yesterday.
Right? Ooh.
However, I get there. After the press conference, he's got to do some transfer business, which I can't talk about, but he's got to do some transfer business on the phone. So our interview is now pushed back till 3. Interview starts at 3, finishes at 3:30. Then I have to drive to Selhurst Park because I've got to work interviewing fans outside from 6. But it's a 3.5-hour drive from Ipswich to Selhurst Park. I get to the Dartford Bridge. The traffic is absolutely insane. Then I run out of phone battery and I've got no idea where I'm going, because obviously I'm using my phone to direct me. So I have to go into a petrol station, spend £30 on a portable charger, plug it in. By the time I've spent that money on a portable charger, when I'm trying to leave the petrol station, the traffic's so bad that I can't even get back onto the bridge. So I end up parking near Sellers Park. I get in, I do my interviews. I'm with my mate, and my mate's like, oh, let's have a few pints. I'm like, oh, I've driven, whatever. But I was like, yeah, fine.
Yeah.
Obviously got carried away, especially because we were unreal. Then had to go home. Spent £60 on Uber home, then had to wake up the next morning and travel from North London all the way to Croydon to get my car, and then drive all the way to Bedford from South London. Long.
Oh, you've had quite a long bloody weekend then. That's one day. Well, that's an interesting story though. Gary O'Neill doing some transfer business, which, that's quite interesting. I mean, I shouldn't focus on that, because obviously we've got to protect our integrity here. But that's mad.
He's a good fella. Really good fella. Really
is he,
nice
yeah? He's from Beckenham. Nice he's from South London. Big up Gary O'Neill, man. And I think Ipswich, they've been all right as well since the start of the season. So fair play, man. That's a mad story though. That is a mad story. And also, You're in this space now. You're a content creator. You should have a battery pack on you 24/7.
I know.
That is literally basics. Anyway,
I mean, it's basic.
Yeah, so. I don't wanna go in. I don't wanna sound like a school teacher. But
do you know what? I'm really unorganized actually when it comes to that stuff. Like in my car, I've just got like 4 different outfits just like thrown everywhere, like golf bags. Like, there's no order to anything.
Oh my days. To be fair, Yeah, you might be unorganized there, but you organize the show very well. So big up Kibber and organization of the show. He does get everything running smooth. Let me talk. Do you know what? Before I go to my weekend, actually, I don't know if you wanted to discuss any more. You know, Saturday we are currently or Monday. Is there anything else anything of highlight of interest, even if it's away from football? Saturday, Sunday, that you did.
I assume we'll talk about the football in greater detail, won't we?
Yeah, of course we will. So
we can talk about the City game later.
Yeah, because you said you were you were.
Well, we were very, very, very good. We were very good. What else has happened? Went to a 30th on Saturday, which was quite nice. Had a barbecue yesterday, which was decent.
Nice. All right, fine.
Just classic bank holiday weekend activity, really.
Well, I'm gonna trump some of your stories by just obviously last time I was on, I had the PFA awards in between the show.
Yeah.
So we might have to talk a little bit. Shirky, by the way, he is very he didn't want to talk to no one. I tried to give him the yo brother, come to me. He's I don't know, he's a bit devious. I feel it's because obviously I don't know there's an attitude there, whether people like it. Some people, I listen for the game and the era we're in, a lot of people won't like attitude. And I know there's been, you know, some of your manager as well has had difficulties. I think we've kind of just not getting the best out of him because he's playing well, but he has a bit of attitude. That's just very clear. But that's some of the best players in the world do. I'm not saying he is one of those, but I'm just saying he's a very good player. And when Kim would say that. And of course, when he arrived onto the red carpet, I don't even know if he was in it. He was in a suit. He looked smartly dressed, but it wasn't like a suit. And he just kind of walked past all the media. I wasn't really speaking to any media. But listen, that's one thing. Shirky, PFA Awards. Next thing, obviously. Oh, do you know what? I've said it across a few platforms, but obviously this is our show. VAR, are you serious? People said to me, oh, Cecil looked amazing, it looked really good, and like everything you did. But truthfully, honestly, we arrived, and for the whole 2-hour stream that I was live, we had sound issues the whole time. It never got fixed, not once.
Really?
The people that were in charge, and I'm sorry to say this, the TikTok people in charge, who I'm good friends with, we've been there, they've helped me do a lot in my career. They didn't check the sound before we started. They actually arrived a little bit late on the carpet when I was sitting there waiting for us to set up. Then they didn't check the sound. They had brand new Rode mics, they had brand new iPhone. And they didn't check the sound before. We didn't do a test the live. So the whole time during the live, the sound was not working. So obviously you could hear me when I'm close to the phone because the mics and the phone couldn't connect. So
the whole thing, the mics were off.
Kim, the whole frigging thing, and I'm putting a smile on my face. I was rattled. We had two different mics. They were swapping mics over throughout the whole stream, trying to make it work. We're pausing it. We're going off. We're losing like 4,000 viewers every time we're trying to fit. Never worked. So people kept asking me, and people saying you did such a great job. I think obviously they saw pictures. They would have saw small interviews. But just for context, everyone. I lost about 75% of interviews. So you've only seen, I think, the only ones you've seen is me doing this, old school, holding the phone to the players' faces, turning it, zooming in like this, going to Timber and Emily Fox. And then turning to me to ask a question. Brother, it was like amateur hour. But you know what? In the end, listen, energy and all wise and how, listen, we roll the punches. I consider myself a professional where I can
adapt. Do you know what's good, though?
Go on.
You've done it before. Like, if that was your first time doing it, and you had basically nothing to show for it, that would be an absolute killer. But you've still got all of the good stuff from last year.
That's true. That's a very good point. I never looked at
that.
But
it's a shame, right? Because this is probably the biggest, like, it's probably the best thing you do.
Kim, this is, people, listen, when I, the TikTok team was saying, Bingham, like I said, they've done a lot for me. They said to me, don't overthink anything. I know you're always a perfectionist and you overthink every detail. I was like, no, I know, but you don't understand. Like, this is once a year and it happens. Yeah. Like, and you get one shot. It's not like pre-record, sound's gone, we'll get him back in next week or we can go and meet him again in a couple. Mm-hmm. No, this is the PFA Awards where last year, every big interview we did, we hit mainstream media. For more context, we were the front of the red carpet, not this year, last year. The first time they've ever done a live, first time they've had like this sort of new sort of trend of content being used on the red carpet. So we was at the front. So we got all the big interviews. Obviously, when Mo Salah said he thinks Arsenal are going to win the league. had loads of, everyone spoke amazingly well from Liverpool. I didn't get to see any Arsenal players, but this was last year. And those, and Gareth Southgate and all these things still, like you said,
yeah,
you get all that content. This year, we were pushed down the pecking order. We were like sixth. We were at the end of like the, there's priority media, then there's like another load of media, it's like GQ, fashion, all that stuff. But we was at the end of the priority media, so it was the last camera, which annoyed me as well. At the front, and you know what? Fair enough. I like Liam McDevitt, I think his name is. He was doing the YouTube. So it's the first one that had YouTube live, doing the red carpet through PFA. So basically, they pushed TikTok down to me. And you know what? I get it. I'm on YouTube. I hear it. But it frustrated me. I just knew how to work harder. So then when I'm thinking I have to work harder, I thought, fine. I know a lot of these players. I've got a lot of friends in the industry. I'll be able to get them over. It's fine, which I did. But we missed the majority of it because of the sound issues. And the last 30 minutes, I went obviously handheld and went old school. And that's when obviously the big interviews came, like the Arsenal players, Bruno and all that. But it just felt, it felt amateur because I'm doing this. But like you said, it was if it was my first, I'd be raging. I was raging anyway. I kept it. I held it down because I don't know. I think people know who I, like, they know I'm in the industry and stuff, and I got a lot of love, and people just like, they just assumed everything went smooth. But yeah, if it was my first, I've been upset. In the end, it was still good. It was still a good day. It's amazing. You get to share the, you know, the carpet with the players. Obviously, a lot of managers are there. There's Thomas Tuchel was there. Obviously, yeah. And then there's a lot of like footballing legends. David Dean was there. He's a good friend of mine. So Kenny Dalglish. So it was nice. It was really good. And then, obviously, the one I will hone in on was obviously Bruno Fernandes, which was a really weird situation because obviously in my heart of hearts, I'm an Arsenal fan and I don't like him. But no, all I see is the perception though. I see him on the pitch and I can't lie, you hate a player like Bruno Fernandes. I don't care. Like, yeah. And I just didn't like the way, I don't like him. But then he arrives on the red carpet, people, right? He arrives on the red carpet. First thing he does, he's not allowed to talk to anyone. He's with his missus. So what I'm assuming he's doing, he has to run straight across through the red carpet to drop off. Because they were late. They arrived. They were the last people to arrive on the red carpet. It makes sense. They time it as he's the biggest player to be. I don't know what. He probably isn't. But they Arsenal came second to last. And then Bruno, and people already know that who's won anyway. So it probably was timed. He would have went to the offices first, done all the interviews, done all the photos. And he'd have been the last to arrive. That everyone knows. Not everyone, but we all know who's won. I knew already he won as well. So he arrived last. But basically, he's run straight on the red carpet. As he's running across, not talking to any media, no fans or nothing, he looks at me. I've turned around because obviously everyone's like, Bruno, Bruno. He looks at me, nods at me and leans out and spuds me and then carries on walking. And I'm like, so all this, there's all this media here, all these fans, you're with your partner. You've decided to, okay, whatever. So he's gone in. He said, and he's saying to people, I'm coming back. No, I'm not leaving. He then comes back and then always does his interviews. Then he does my interview and he's just really nice. And it pissed me off because I was just like, why are you so nice? Why are you so nice? I had the Premier League badge on in his face like this. Like I had the pin. I was like, and he was so nice. I told him about his brother. I played against his brother in non-league. And he said, how was he? I said, obviously he's not better than you. And I asked him to give advice to the up-and-coming players, the academy players and all that. Did all that. He did that. I spoke about his assist record last year and then, you know, what does he prefer more, the goals or assists? And he told me, he was honest with me, he said the goals. And what he said, he was just so open and honest. And then afterwards, when the cameras weren't rolling, after the awards, for people that don't know, you go into the Opera House, Manchester Opera House, it's a sit down thing. Honestly, I fought years, Kim, to be here. I used to email when I was a footballer, I never got in. They would not allow me to go. Now I'm hosting red carpet. All for me to come into the Opera House, halfway through, I just leave. Like, I just go and stand outside. Didn't do it last year, but it's just not entertaining. It feels stiff. It feels fake. It feels wooden. People are trying to make jokes. It's not really hitting. It's really hot in there. It was stuffy as hell. So I just stood outside. And also, I have a little bit of inside knowledge that I know once the people win, they go outside, like the players, they go and do photos on the stairs. They do photos downstairs and they do like an interview room. So I was also playing the game a little bit, but then when I was downstairs in that room, Bruno walks past me again and then comes up to me, like with his, he didn't have security, come up to me and he's like, by the way, I saw your pin. He goes, firstly, I'll say congratulations. But it's very cheeky. I said, oh my God. He's like, no, but congratulations, dude. Take care. And I was like, Bruno, I love you. I can't admit that. Because United, it's mad. But he's a really nice guy. He spoke to all the media. He also signed all the kids' like signatures and that. He did all the shit. I've got a lot of time for players like that. I've got a lot of time for it. So big up Bruno Fernandes. I don't think you deserve... I can't say that. I think people are making too much of a big thing of it. They say Declan Rice should have won it, but big up... Listen, he broke the assist record. Who's by Thierry Henry and Kevin De Bruyne.
No one is saying Declan Rice should have won it.
Probably. No, all the Arsenal fans are saying Declan Rice
should have won it. Yeah, of course. All the Arsenal fans are also saying that Saka's the best winger in the league and all this stuff. So,
well, he might be this season now, Jim. We'll see. He's got a goal. Anyway, that was my PFA Awards summary. And of course, there's an after party. I'm talking about all the places in Manchester because obviously Kim's from Manchester. You'll know these places. Opposite Opera House is the Ivy. Banging, by the way. We had the whole Ivy. There was all three floors. I think four floors. We had the roof. Madness. Obviously, for context, people are listening and wanting to know. Back in the day, apparently the PFA Awards after parties were... How do I do this without being too much trouble? They were very infamous for just players turning up and enjoying themselves. Nowadays, not like that. Completely, completely different. Very, very different. Very much agents. Media people doing business. There's a lot of people doing business. People asking for, it becomes boring. Like a networking event. Yeah, it's boring. Yeah, yeah. There's music there. Last year was the worst. I'm sorry to say, last year was so bad. But this year, Ivy, the venue was a bit better. There was DJs on each floor. The drinks were flowing. You know what I mean? You could. The bar was, I think, was open as well, which was nice. So it was a lot better this year. But also, it still wasn't the same, as players weren't really around. The EFL players, big up the EFL players, were there, but not like the big names. Last year, only Morgan Rogers stayed. This year, it wasn't really like that. But that is it. The after party is good. Obviously, I spoke to David Ornstein. No, my friend spoke to David Ornstein and kind of dropped. David Ornstein was a couple beers in and he's enjoying his life. Of course he was. And he said a few things. And I mentioned it on one of the AOTV shows, which in the end wasn't the best thing, because I should have... It's in a relaxed environment. However, the following day, he explained the same thing on, I think it was on TNT yesterday, when he said about the Alvarez, that the percentage is quite low that he'll come to Arsenal because of like family situations and all that, and tax and whatnot. So yeah, but it was good. It was nice to be back at the PFA Awards. So that was that. That was a long intro, and I didn't even talk about the carnival, but I'm not gonna do that too much. But just know Arsenal take over carnival, Nottingham Carnival. I'm there every year. It was nice to feel the love. It's nice to be back out in the streets. Had a very good time. I was at the Magnum stage, got to enjoy myself, Ty as well, how Ty made it to carnival by himself. We were supposed to pick him up, but he just was too late. He found us. I don't know how he done it, but he done it. So that was Nottingham Carnival. It's obviously on today. I won't be there. Normally I'm there on the Monday as well. But we've had a good weekend so far. Let's just hope Arsenal can end the weekend. I hate playing on Monday. I hate playing on Monday because every team's played. Every team's had a win or a loss or a draw, of course. They're the three options you can get. And then everyone's eyes run. Huh?
Good football analysis.
I know, that's pretty poor.
I'll probably cut that up and make it a social clip, actually. That's really good.
That's
really
a Michael Owen level, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so you want to win, score goals, and put it. Yeah, I know. Listen, hear me out, okay? I'm just saying, I don't like playing on Monday because everyone's eyes are on you and all the results have been done and the pressure kind of falls on you. And it's Aston Villa away. It's going to be a tough game, but even though they lost to Brighton 4-0. Yeah, you say this. We'll see. Well, listen, after this, we'll get a bit more deeper into the football chat. We'll talk a little bit more around what's happened already so far, in the Premier League, but then also what's coming tonight when it comes to Arsenal versus Aston Villa.
Are you serious on FUBAR Radio?
And we're back. Let's discuss, Kim, the weekend's results and how they really went down. We won't go through all of them. We'll go through some of the big headlines of what you've seen and what you've heard. Then, of course, we've got to talk about transfers, but... And we'll touch on a little bit as well, of course, people that are listening of tonight's game, because, my team are playing, the champions are playing, and that's the biggest story of the Monday. Let's get into this.
It's the only story of the Monday. It's the only story.
It's the biggest. Maybe of the weekend.
Arsenal's inflated sense of self since winning the league is unbelievable. This is why people didn't want you to win the league, by the way.
Do you like my Arsenal Premier League winning tops card that they sent me?
You've never won the Premier League. You were never good enough. Let's talk about real football.
Yeah. No. My team was, but it's okay. I've won a few.
My team's won it four times in a row.
Yeah. Well, not this year. Anyway, last year. Not this season. Last season. Same thing. Anyway, we got to stop doing this. We got to stop doing this.
Let's make an agreement now. Just for a bit. let's both just talk about each other's clubs in a normal way.
Okay, let's do this. Let's do this. That own goal from Donnarumma. Now, joking. It's a good
nothing
free
you can do. About
it's a good free kick. But let's talk Palace City then. All right, is a scoreline reflective of how the game actually went? A 4-1. Was it that simple?
It wasn't simple because I don't actually think that Palace are that terrible. In the first 20 odd minutes, they had quite a few chances. I still think we were the better team even in that period. And then once we scored, it never really felt that uncomfortable. I thought the atmosphere was amazing from the City fans. I think it's been a weird season because obviously Pep's left and there's not that much expectation. I was telling you before, the first game of the season, oh my God, who did we just play? I was literally there. Who did we just play? We just beat them in the last minute.
I do this every time you play Bournemouth.
Bournemouth.
Yeah, I do this all the time.
But it's crazy. It's because we watch too much football. It's like, I can't remember. So yeah, the Bournemouth game, I was obviously doing those interviews for LiveScore before. And we were talking, I was interviewing loads of City fans and no one was saying that we're going to win the league. Everyone was saying, predict us to finish top four. A lot of people saying, like, I'm not really sure what to expect. I'm not sure Enzo Maresca is the right guy. I'm not sure the signing is
great. I did see that content, actually, you know. That actually popped up on my feed. So, yeah.
Decent numbers, too.
Yeah, it popped up.
So I think there's like a weird kind of like excitement as well in that no one knows what to expect. So everyone there, it was a Friday night anyway. In London, everyone's been drinking since like 3 p.m. when the coaches have left. So that the vibes were just great, and it was just super, super positive. Like just singing from minute one, didn't stop singing. There seemed to be like a genuine excitement, and then that just translated on the pitch. Like we were so, so good in the second half. Cherky was unbelievable. That's two goals and two assists in what is about 95 minutes of football over the first two games of the season. He's an absolute joke.
Do you care that he flares his arms up and like this? No, that? Because it seems like they're honing in on like the Enzo Maresca, like at halftime, him saying, having words with him and stuff. Like, do you care?
No, he's the most, I'm trying to think, he's the most talented player on the pitch. So
over Foden, yeah? Right, he's probably, yeah.
And it can be so frustrating, I guess, when he doesn't get the ball in the positions he wants to get in. And he's not like, people have this misconception that he's not a hard worker. He tracks back a lot. He makes challenges. He makes blocks. He's just an unbelievably good player and he's so exciting to watch. And Haaland was back on form. I thought Elliot Anderson was unbelievable. Like, that is just a really good signing. I thought it would take a while for him to adjust and he wasn't that great against Bournemouth.
Kim, I think you're going a bit early. You think he's... I think we just...
Yeah, I think he's just well, he was unbelievable for Forest. That's why every club in the world wanted
him. Yeah, but he weren't great in the Community Shield. That first game, I don't think he was great either against Bournemouth. Like, yeah, I know, but
I can't say someone had a good performance because 2 weeks before they had a bad performance.
Yeah, but you can say he's having a good, but he said he's an unbelievable signing.
I said he was unbelievable was the phrase.
So we've got to wait.
If you want to rewind? If you want to rewind, I said he was unbelievable.
I will rewind it. People that are listening,
he was unbelievable.
He was unbelievable. You say he is unbelievable. Okay, well, let's just check. He said about the signing. He said it's an amazing sign. Let's just slow it down. Mark Gay midfield. Is that going to continue are you still?
I know he wasn't really in midfield against Palace. It was Nico O'Reilly who was in there. He was great again. He just continues to go from strength to strength. I mean, there was almost nothing bad about that performance. I was really surprised. I went into it and we all went into it. We were drinking beforehand on the concourse and I was like, I genuinely will be happy with a draw because Palace have always been our bogey team. It's quite a tough place to go. You don't really know what to expect from them. And I've seen us go there and draw many times. So I was thought that I would genuinely be fine with the draw or like a tight win. I didn't expect us to go there and win 4-1 quite comfortably. Could have been more. And it's made me genuinely excited. It's made me excited for the season. I don't want to get that. The problem is that because we do these shows every week and because I talk about City every day, it's really hard to not like after a win be like, oh yeah, we're amazing. Then after a loss be like, oh, we're rubbish. Like, it's really hard to decide. Try and maintain a level. But I'm very, very excited by what I saw.
Do you think you maintain a level well? Because I'll be honest, I don't know if your assessments are swayed by bias and emotion or if you actually are being spot on accurate. Because I don't know. I see City and I feel like, yeah, they're good. And I think you're right in the sense that you don't know what to expect. So that might sway to be like, oh, this could actually work out all right. But I'm also looking and thinking, I don't know.
If you went to Crystal Palace and won 4-1, you specifically would say that Arteta's the greatest manager that's ever lived. That was the best performance ever. Oh. Bukayo Saka's the best winger in Premier League history. Odegaard's the best centre mid you've ever seen. And Kai Havertz is R9 So
we should
it doesn't make any sense for you. It doesn't make any sense for you to talk about me, who's actually giving quite an honest and normal opinion, which is that some of our new signings were great. Cherky is obviously one of the most talented players in the league and has shown it over the last two games. And I'm excited by that. But okay. you're scared. You're scared.
I'm not scared.
You are.
I'm just trying to. I think we should rate each other's analysis of our own teams just to see if we are being very unbiased. I don't know. Sometimes I feel like you are swayed at times. But that assessment of Palace, that one you just gave just then, that little speech, that seemed honest and true.
Okay.
Somebody else would have been embellished. Listen, hear me out. If I beat Aston Villa 4-1 though tonight. Yeah, I wouldn't. They're not the Villa of old. Do you know what? Hear me out. Chelsea next week. That's the only game I shouldn't look past another team. We've obviously got Chelsea next after this game. That game, you might get a different energy from me thinking, okay, we might be back.
You beat our second team in a glorified friendly and you spoke about it for 2 weeks and you're still bringing it up now.
About how amazing you were.
You had three shots and you scored them all.
It was not your second. There was only one player.
Haaland came off at halftime. Jack Grealish came on. We had Kovacic in midfield.
That's Barrow's better than Mark Gatey in midfield, no?
No, obviously not.
Go on. Anyway, all right,
You're lost. No, hold on. Let's assess each other's analysis of their football club.
Okay, cool.
Out of ten, how good is Bukayo Saka?
No, we're not doing that now. I'm talking about the analysis of the result.
I want to analyse your analysis of your own winger.
What, currently?
Out of ten.
Currently?
Yeah.
Okay. From the two games he's played, well, I'm talking about, one game. I want to say charity shields, but you're not going to include that. He didn't actually have a good game against you guys. The one game he's played, he scores in. So we'll start at a low six because of last season. Right now, he's about 6 or 7, right?
I'm going to name some players. You tell me if he's...
I want to assess our analysis of our games that we play. But anyway, go on.
Right. Is he better than Ryan Cherky?
Yes.
Okay.
That's
it. No, then it's just 0 out of 10, isn't it? Then your analysis is zero out of ten.
He's been in the league for many years. We can't... Cherky's been... Oh. Come on, man. Can I just say,
if you had Cherky, if you actually had him, you would never, ever want him to play. You would never want Saka to play instead of him, ever. If Cherky was playing for Arsenal, oh my God, can you imagine? You would genuinely be calling him like Messi regen. It's because we're not that bothered. We just see these great players all the time.
That is a lie. Illiman Ndiaye, to be fair. I really want him. And I think he's very... I like the way... Listen, I'm a fan of Cherky, by the way. I've said this. When he did kick-ups and all that, I was commending it. It was annoying when he celebrated in front of us, but I also understand, like, there's a level of flair player that I think the game's missing. He has that attitude I like. But yeah, I'm going to be biased my own team. Anyway, let's go to the next game. Liverpool, Nottingham Forest. That's been too long. 2-2 draw. Liverpool they're not clicking just yet. I mean... I don't know if you want to say too much on Liverpool, if you want to keep it moving. I mean, it's not too much to talk about it too much, but...
I think they'll be good.
Yeah?
I think they will be good. Yeah, I think Forest will be good as well. I think that's quite an evenly matched game. I think it's going to take them a bit of time.
What about the Tigers? Obviously, they beat Coventry. And do you know what? They were 20th place for me. I haven't really done predictions on here, but they were the ones... When we say who's going to go down, a lot of people said teams that come up. But I actually thought Hull would be the team that are the bottom of the three teams. But they are... They're showing something. I don't even know what their counter-attacking is a joke. Is actually a joke. They should have been 2-0 up. They only obviously end up being 1-0, but like, it's interesting.
I do worry for Coventry. I think if you can't beat Hull at home, which is on paper probably the easiest fixture that you're going to get, that is a little bit worrying.
It's annoying. For me. It's annoying because I thought Coventry and Ipswich, I thought Ipswich would stay up, but Coventry I thought would show a little bit more as well, especially after the game we played against us. I know we beat them 3-0, but I just thought with Frank Lampard, I think they had an ethos where, okay, they will be able to juggle and play against some of the mid-table teams and especially the relegated teams, but to lose to Hull, they need to really pick it up.
I'm putting money on Ipswich to stay up. It helps out work there like a lot of the week, and I speak to the managers and I speak to everyone around the club, and the vibe there is really good. Like, they've just spent like a lot of money on their new training facility, which looks sick. Just spent £200 million on players. They've just got a World Cup winner. I don't know what's going on with Tammy Abraham, if that's actually completed now or not, but yeah, he'll probably end up there. So
it's interesting.
It's going to be all right.
Yeah, it's your commentary, I think, stay up, even though Hull have probably had the best start so far. They actually have had the best start out of the relegated teams. Bournemouth Everton's 1-1 draw. I'm going to skip past that to go to Spurs Newcastle. 2-0. Now, me it's and Robbie, we were speaking about this yesterday. I thought Spurs actually, pain to say, I thought they were playing all right. I was like, these lot, you know, got a load of new players. And then Robbie was kind of shooting me down like, no, they weren't their attack. No, they weren't their attack. No. And the defending's not good. He said, I don't, you know, the defenders have never been that good. I said, yeah, but if you look, and this is before I looked at the stats, because I was watching the game thinking, yeah, they're all right. And I thought Newcastle scored some amazing goals. Kind of, like, I think like that just happens in football. Like if you don't take chances, you can see. But then I looked at the stats, and yeah, Tottenham were better in like possession when it comes to shots on target, shot like. So I was like, okay, this is interesting. But Newcastle just, I don't know, that the Langer goal, the celebration, at Thierry Neal slide, the whistle doing the fumbu. Like I was just like, Newcastle, they've always been Spurs' bogey team actually as well. So I must say that as well actually. But I don't know what it is. I feel like. I don't feel for Tottenham because F Tottenham always. But I'm just like, when is it gonna work? You just signed. I think you guys they've gone and got or they're gonna get Ilham Aliyev, who I actually wanted at Arsenal. I really like him as a player. They are really really spending money, big money. Obviously, there's loads of names I can mention. Tonali. They've got a load of like obviously new players to strengthen, but it doesn't seem to be really going the way.
But it's one of them where it's like, will it ever work?
This is the thing. That's what I'm thinking. I'm just like, I have Spurs friends, right? And I'm like, you've got everything. New training facilities, new stadium. You have a new manager who's actually a good manager. You've got new players. You have everything you'd expect. You have young players. Mikey Moore's coming through. Like, you have play. Like, as a club, it seems, if you just look at it on paper, things should be fine. But then you watch them. And I just don't get it right. Nothing seems to work. And is it a Tottenham?
Like no heart, I think.
I don't know what it is.
I don't know if they've got like, I don't know what it is, bro. But they never seem like a team. They never seem like a proper like United team.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
No, I get it.
It seems like a collection of individual players.
But they are good. But
they're all really good players. Yeah. I like Spurs. I want Spurs.
Mamouche's there. Like, you're expert. I know you might not rate him, but I think he actually played.
He's a good player. He's a good player. I actually do think. I think they'll be okay. I think they've had a tough start.
They can't keep losing games though, Kim. Not
Who have they got next?
Yeah, who have they got? Yeah, great question. Great question.
Let's actually have a look at the next Spurs.
do you know they're 20th? Bottom of the frame already. That's mad.
It's just crazy. They've got Nottingham Forest away next week.
Yeah, there's no way. The City Ground, there's no way.
And then Everton at home, they
should
win.
And then Villa at home.
Then Villa at home, then United away, then Coventry at home, then Chelsea away, then Leeds away.
I don't know, man. I know.
They're going to have to pick up some serious form. ASAP.
Quick. Yeah. Like, sorry to a big segment, people on Spurs. I just find them so fascinating. And obviously, well, I'm an Arsenal fan, so they're kind of, well, they are in our shadow, but like, I just find it hilarious. I find it so funny. Just no matter, you've got everything. You feel like you have everything at your disposal, and nothing is seeming to work. Like, madness. You didn't even score. You conceded two goals and didn't score. Anyway, right, we'll move forward from Spurs before I spend a whole day. 4-3 Brighton, Chelsea. Interesting.
Chelsea are going to be great to watch this year.
Yeah, it's
their attack's great and the defense is stinky.
I hate it. Okay, you're great to watch entertainment wise. Okay, I hear what you're saying. Because I was going to say, there was a lot of Chelsea fans at Carnival, and they were gassed. They're like, they literally feel like they're going to be competing, or even if not Premier League champions this season. A lot of them I spoke to, but they always seem that they were good. A lot of people thought they were a dark horse. And they probably are. I'm trying to just ignore it because I hate Chelsea with such a big passion. I said they're going to be the biggest flop. But I do watch them and think Cole Palmer, Morgan Rodgers, just like the way, João Pedro as well. I've always liked João Pedro, but they're clicking, they're cooking. I just, like I said, my assessment, I said this to you earlier, when we play them at the Emirates, that is going to be a big, big match. And it's going to give me a holistic overview of just how I think Arsenal may push forward. It's very early on in the season. I'm aware of that. But I think Chelsea are kind of partly the team to beat, if I'm being honest.
It'll be us in the top three. It'll be Arsenal, Chelsea, and City in the top three.
I think you're right with that. I think
I don't know what the order will be. I think it will most likely be you, and then us two will be fighting for second place. That makes the most sense. But anything can happen. Anything can happen.
You and Chelsea will be a great game. You versus Chelsea, that'll be quality. Like the attacks and the defenders are going to be. Yeah, that'll be a great game. When is that coming up? Jeez, let me have a look.
I don't know. I don't think that's for a while. But that will be a good game. That'll be an exciting game.
Yeah, fair. But yeah, but Brighton as well. They seemed like they were out flat on their feet, and then they kind of made it back. They obviously didn't.
They've scored seven goals in two games, haven't they? So yeah, and they'll be fine.
And Chelsea are conceding a lot. Like they conceded two last week. They conceded five goals in two games. Like you said, you know, great attack with defense. They're leaking goals. So yeah, I just think next week's fixtures will be very, very interesting when they play against us, because our defense is good against their really good attack. So I'll just quickly give you a little overview, people. It's Aston Villa versus Arsenal tonight, the Edgerton Concert Derby. Will he play? I don't think so. But will he play? I don't think so. I think he'll be there. I don't think he'll get minutes. A lot of Arsenal fans think he will play, and they think that they should give him minutes. But I think a defender, you don't really change, especially I think it's going to be a tighter game. And I think, I think fans are I get it. The fantasies of football, the romantic story. I love all that, but we're being honest, it's probably unlikely. He's probably going to be saved for a Champions League game, if we're being completely honest. Aston Villa, obviously, coming back off of a 4-0 defeat. They've made a lot of new signings. Nicholas Jackson, I believe. I don't know if they registered him in time, but I don't know if they did it on Friday after 1:30 p.m. I haven't seen the news on it, but he will be there if... I just don't know if he'll be starting. So that'd be interesting. Obviously, he's not too bad of a player, but Arsenal should get the job done. I've actually said 2-1. I think I said 2-1 as well on our prediction thing, but I said 2-1. It could be 3-1, but yeah, man, I'm off to Birmingham in a few hours to watch the game. It's gonna be a good one. Villa Park, first away game. Yeah, man, it's gonna be. It's always a spicy game against Aston Villa. And last year they done us at their place. Last minute, Emi Buendia, and then we left the stadium and had about 100 Aston Villa fans surround us against the wall, with security saying second again, ole ole, pointing at us. They followed us back to our cars singing. Yeah, it's a good laugh until you win it. But anyway, hopefully everything doesn't happen again tonight and we get the win. But yeah, 8 p.m. kickoff. Not really too much to say on that. After the break, we'll discuss transfers as the window is closing tomorrow at 11 p.m. That's Tuesday, 11 p.m. Straight after this.
VAR, you serious? On FUBAR Radio.
Back, ladies and gentlemen. Of course, it's transfer talk. This section, we're obviously going to decide who's actually won the window. Who's lost the window? I've got to remember everyone's kind of signings, but I don't know. If it was their team. Sometimes there's a team that don't ever sign anyone. Or maybe like one signer. But we'll get to the losers of it first. But I think the winners... We'll discuss a few transfers as well. You, City, I'm assuming, are going to look to do some deadline deals. We're in the Alvarez saga. It's Alvarez every frigging second of the day at the moment. But I don't know. I don't think we get him. I think our business is done. I'll quickly do a summary. Arsenal obviously sold yesterday. Gabriel Jesus to Barcelona. Mental. Came out of nowhere. What is going on? A man who's been... Listen, I love Jesus. When he arrived, he's ex-Man City, of course. Yeah, he regenerated the club and the vibe. Him, Zinchenko, that year, 2022. And I really liked him. Technical player, very good player. Obviously didn't score enough goals, but injuries really hampered his career. Really did at Arsenal. Two knees, ACLs, both legs, or both knees. But he's now at Barcelona, which is just mental. Julian Alvarez's dream club and Gabriel Jesus are literal... Third choice, fourth choice striker. He's just gone over there for 10 million euros. So he's gone. Fabio Vieira's gone to Hamburg as well. Big up Fabio Vieira. I shouldn't really big him up because I'll be honest, he didn't have a great time at Arsenal, but Fabio Vieira's off as well. And then Martinelli's gone to Al Hilal, also got confirmed, which kind of knew about early on, but he's gone to Al Hilal. Our record sale, 60 million euros, which is, in my opinion, pretty poor for Arsenal, but it's pretty much pure profit. It's considered pure profit because he's considered a homegrown talent because we got him for so cheap, £6 million. But yeah, big up Martinelli. I loved him. His shirt was on my wall. I know I've got a Aubameyang there now, but his shirt was always on my wall. Got a lot of love for him and his family and was very close to him as a player. Done a lot for Arsenal in the time he was there, but it's time to move on. And I got told as well a stat that he's going to be the second highest paid Brazilian in the whole of the world. Who's number one, Kim? Wow. Do you know?
Still Neymar?
I thought that. That's the first name I said. Robbie went, nope. The first is Vinny Jr. And Martinelli is the second most, about 300, just under 400 million a week. Sorry, yeah, 400,000 a week. 400,000 a week. So yeah, big up. So that's the sales. We don't need to talk too much about the income. It's obviously Ezri Konsa, Bruno Guimaraes, Ilya Milie, and Solis for Arsenal. Kim, talk to me. Man, give me a Man City overview.
Well, you're looking. Depends what we're doing in the next few days, isn't it? We've got.
So is it a failure if you don't maybe, sign? If you don't sign anyone, is it a failure?
We've had jungle business. But Gakpo would be good. He can play on the left and he can play as a backup to Haaland, which is actually really important.
Because do you rate him, honestly? Like, from like last season, yeah. he was so... When he first arrived in the Premier League, I said, this is a good player. And then when he went on international duty, actually, as well, that season, his first season at Liverpool, and I was like... And he just reinvented himself in that international break. And then he came back and I'm just like, yeah, he's okay.
But no one was good for Liverpool last year, so... It's not really a good test. He was great the year before. I think he's a good player. I think 85 million is a lot of money for him, but I think he fills that void that we need, which is of a left winger who can play up front. I know we were in fit Lemon and Jai as well. I think Gakpo's actually just a way better fit. I think the problem with Njai is he looks way better because he's playing for a team. He's playing for a team that doesn't play particularly nice football. He's playing for a David Moyes, pretty like standard British Everton team. And he obviously stands out and he shines. But I think in a really good team, he probably doesn't look that great. And I think Gakpo's probably a bit more efficient. As I say, when Haaland's injured or Haaland can't play, he can play up front. He's tall, he's strong, he's got a good shot on him. Just makes sense.
Did that apply for Jack Grealish or not? When he was at Aston Villa, like a player that's same as Ilie Malanjai, he shone because he was
Jack Grealish is massively disrespected. I mean, he literally won the treble, so... Started every game in a treble season, which almost no other player in history has done. So it doesn't really make any sense.
Ladies and gentlemen, I've worked with him so long now. I know where I could get trigger points, you know. And I just know all the players he loves are defence to the hills, and I just like to.
It's not even about defending him. I like fairness, and I don't understand why we have to speak about Jack Grealish.
Sorry,
he won the treble. He scored at the Emirates to win the league.
In my head, you go, Ilie Malanjai, I think he's phenomenal for Everton. He's a quality player. And that's that whole speech of where he was in the Everton side. I think like Grealish was unbelievable at Villa, in my opinion, when he was there. And when he went to City, at the time, for the money, it didn't seem like it clicked. That's why it seems that was a similar storyline. Apart from, of course, he won the treble. And I'm not going to... You very much defend
started every game.
Started every game. But before that... Took a bit of time to build into it. So I don't know. Maybe we'll see if Illerman, I can't call Tottenham a big side. So if he does, yeah, I can't. So we don't know. Let's just see if he'll stick to that level. But quality player, and you're right. Cody Gakpo, I don't know. I think he's heavily a confidence player. Of course, City probably can breed you confidence because they're a team that tends to win games. But I don't know. I'm going to be very intrigued to see
I'm not that excited by tomorrow, but I think if we can get Gakpo and Fernandes, I do think we've got a better chance of doing something.
Is Enzo worth the money that Chelsea are asking for? Because they want what, 115 or 125? Sounds stupid.
But no one's worth the money, are they, really? No. Like, you've done quite good business getting Bruno for 75 mil. I don't know how you've managed to do that. That's really good.
But we always do business. Like we always try and haggle, and we do well at that. About buying, not selling. We do well at buying. But okay, interesting. That's obviously R2's clubs. That's R2 clubs window so far. And the rest, I mean, let's go to predictions from last weekend. So this weekend, let's see if us is going to go back to back. Predictions. We'll do predictions for obviously the upcoming games. We'll do the results from this weekend's fixtures.
I think you might have won.
Of course, Kim.
Palace City. I said City would win.
You did.
And you said
Palace would win.
Palace would win. So I get 1 point. You get no points.
Yep.
Liverpool, I said, would win 2-0. You said it would be 2-all. It was 2-all. So you get 3 points. I get nothing.
You sick.
Coventry Hull, neither of us get anything. We both said Coventry would win.
Oh, damn.
Bournemouth Everton, you get a point. You said it would be 3-all.
I said it would be a draw, yep.
And I said Bournemouth would win. Spurs Newcastle, you get another point. Because I thought Spurs would win.
You said, I'd said this. You were rushing me. And then you, and then, because you rushed me to get wrong answers. And then you said Spurs would beat Newcastle. I said, you are a fool.
Yeah, I thought Spurs would win. Chelsea, Brighton, I said it'd be a draw. You said it'd be a win. So you get another point. I get nothing.
Yeah,
Leeds, Brentford, I said 1-1. So I get 3 points. You get nothing. Sunderland, Fulham, we both get a point because we both predicted a win.
Oh, sugar.
United, Ipswich, we both get a point because we both predicted a win.
Yeah.
And I've said that Villa will win 3-0. And you've said that Villa will win 2-1. So we'll have to find out.
Kim, you are, honestly, you watch so much football. Where have you got 3-0 to Villa from? I'll give you a lifeline. You might actually be drawing with me now.
No. You've got 8. I've got 6.
Right.
So if Villa win 3-0 tonight, I take the trophy for this week.
Right. So I'm going to give you a lifeline. You can change your result now. Just because... That is ludicrous.
Can I change your result?
Of course you can.
Okay, 3-1 to Arsenal.
Thank you, Cecil.
Should
have done that. I should never have done that.
Thank you very much.
That was my other scoreline. 2-1 or 3-1. You prick.
Thank you very, very much. Right, let's quickly.
All right.
Run through.
All right.
Next week's fixtures. So on Friday.
Ipswich Town.
Ipswich against Liverpool.
Okay, Liverpool win.
What score?
3-1
to Liverpool.
Yep.
I actually think that's going to be 2-2.
Oh.
Saturday's fixtures, right? We've got to get through these quickly then. Newcastle, Bournemouth.
2-0 Newcastle.
That's, I think, 2-1 Newcastle. That's a good game.
Yeah, it's a very good game.
Brentford, Sunderland.
It's a draw. 1-1.
I'm going to go for 1-1 as well.
Oh, you. Sorry. Stop. Yeah, hey, stay. Don't do this.
I don't like to do this. Brighton, Leeds. I'll go first then. I think Brighton will win 2-0.
Okay, mine says Nottingham Forest Spurs. Okay, Brighton leads. Brighton win. Aye, Brighton win 3-2.
Fulham, Crystal Palace.
Oh. Palace, oh. That's tough. 2-2 or Palace win? 1-0 Palace. I went away from all my scores.
I've gone 1-0 Fulham. Man City, Coventry. I think 3-0.
4-0.
4-0, yeah.
Coventry. I'm joking.
Nottingham Forest, Spurs.
Right, that is tough at the City ground. Spurs have to win a game. But will it be this game? Have you got... I'm stuck. All right, let me go.
I've gone 2-2.
Okay, I'm... Nah. It can't be 2-2. We're going to go... 2-0 Spurs. It's definitely not going to be that. 2-1 Spurs. 2-1 Spurs. It's not going to be that. I just...
Hull versus Aston Villa.
That's a quality game. I'm going to go 2-2.
Yeah. I'm going to say that Villa win that 3-1. And then, right, very quickly, Everton, Man United.
Yeah, Everton win. Everton win 3-1. It's all that's a madness.
I've gone for 2-1. And finally, Arsenal, Chelsea.
This is a big game. This is a big game. It's hard to call. Arsenal win at home.
I've written 3-2 down.
You wrote 3-2 for you.
Yeah.
I'm going to go 3-2. I'm going to match it.
Cool.
I'm going to match it. And ladies and gentlemen, that is the results. I'm currently winning unless I gave Kim a life. See, people, I'm a nice guy. I gave Kim a lifeline. Let's find out. Tomorrow we'll know who won this weekend's predictions. And then next weekend we'll discuss and see who's won next weekend's as well. We've given ours. Let us know yours. And yeah, thank you for listening to today's show. VAR, you're serious. We'll be back in the studio very soon. Take care. Lots of love. Peace. VAR, are you serious on FUBAR Radio?